This is Jonathan Cain from Journey, and you're listening to Pastor Ed Boston on the Pastor Ed Boston Podcast.
I'm working on a new program on the computer that I can save news stories to that I want, that I don't have to go through 85 other stories to get to where I want to get. So I've got several saved here, and of course, the biggest topic from when we were here Thursday is the tornadoes. I get really frustrated with the mainstream media because it's already like old news.
And that's so sad.
You know, to me, if you go to a website, the biggest story should be first.
Absolutely.
I mean, what do you see first? The biggest story. And you have to scroll down or however you look at it online. And this is Tuesday. I started paying attention to this yesterday, and you had to scroll down to find the story.
Wow. You didn't start paying attention to the tornadoes. You started paying attention to the order of the stories.
Yes. That's
you
that's
weren't very clear on that.
Thank you. That's what I pay you the big bucks for.
Oh, wow. Wow. No wonder I hadn't gotten a raise in pay in years.
Hey, I've already given y'all the big bucks.
Oh, that's it.
And it really is sad because, well, I ain't going to do it. I was going to go to another news site and tell you what the head news stories were. And I'm going to tell you that there is very likely not one of those more important than the relief efforts in Kentucky. You know, that's why I bragged about Come to Our Ministries and what we did there. That's my phone.
You're ringing.
And I have a feeling that we may be
disconnected.
And I don't have my watch on to go ahead and shut it off. Did it cut us off?
It did, but you're resumed.
I apologize for that, folks. Hopefully you are back.
Amanda Moore has a thing on here. She says, Jacoby goes for his sleep study tonight. Could you guys keep him in your prayers? Thank you. We love you guys. Just saw that because, you know, I can't see anything on mine and you didn't keep up on yours.
Well, I was looking somewhere else. I see it now.
Absolutely, we will.
Thank you, Amanda, for...
We love Jacoby.
And we're going to go ahead and pray for that right now when Amy gets back over here.
This little guy is such an amazing little guy.
Well, Rob was prophesying over him Sunday morning, said, God's got big things in store for you.
And he does. I told Ed, he's going to grow up and be a preacher.
Yeah.
He is. He is going, because he shares the word of God right now, and he's...
Four.
He's amazing.
I watched him. At Come As You Are Ministries, we say the prayer of Jabez each Sunday morning. And when we say that people raise their hand, and he was raising his hand along with everybody else. I couldn't tell. He probably was repeating it along with everybody else,
well,
too.
Well, he probably was. And at 4 years old, however old he is, he's sharing the Lord. He's sharing the word of the Lord right now. And he's going to continue to do that. And I'm telling you, that little boy is going to grow up and just be a preacher.
Let's pray. Father, we lift Jacoby up to you right now. And he's such a special young man. He's a little boy, but boy, he doesn't act like a little boy when it comes to dealing with you, Father, and your son, Jesus. He's all boy and he's all kid, but he is just something special. And so right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up this sleep study. He's been having some issues about his breathing and different things when he wakes up in the mornings. And so we're going to pray complete healing over him. We're going to ask that the sleep study is able to find out what the issue is and that that's taken care of. And we're just asking you, Father, to wipe it all out. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, man. I about didn't get through that prayer without coughing in everybody's face.
Well, that wouldn't be good. Well, Facebook may decide to be cooperative for
for about 3 seconds it was. So let's go back and look at the topic, another topic. How about this one? Florida Senator Mario Rubio announces bill to stop federal funding to cities allowing non-citizens to vote. You're speechless?
Non-citizens.
No city which allows non-U.S. citizens to vote should receive U.S. government funds, Rubio wrote in a tweet. Next week, I'm going to file a bill to make that the law. And isn't this one of those, why are we discussing this at all? Does it not, do you think any other country, I don't know the answer to this, but do you think any other country allows non-citizens to vote?
Well, you wouldn't think.
Because you wouldn't think we would.
Absolutely. Well, you would not think that we would. Why would this even be an issue?
Yeah, why are we talking about it?
Absolutely.
It makes zero sense.
Zero.
I mean, you know, sometimes you can look at things and think, well, that could be the... No. If you're not here legally, you don't get to vote, you don't get to pass go, you don't collect... Wait a second, they get to do all that.
They get to, absolutely. They get to do every bit of that. You should not have a say in what goes on in this country if you are a non-citizen. If you are not here legally and you are a non-citizen, guess what? You don't have a say.
Become a citizen if you want to vote.
Absolutely.
There's ways.
What it takes to become a citizen. And guess what? You got every right in the world. You got the same right as if you were born right here in the good old U.S. of A.
That's the way our country's been for 200 and how many ever years.
Right. But if you don't do the things that are required to become a legal citizen... Guess what? Your opinion don't mean squat.
And that may sound rude, but why should you get to vote on things that affect the entire, well, that affect you and affect me? You pay your taxes. I pay my taxes. And some people might say, well, they pay taxes.
No, they don't.
Well, some of them do because they've obtained illegal Social Security numbers and do things that way. But it just makes no sense to have something like that happen in our country. The ACLJ, J Secularist Group, there is a headline that says, Defending Christmas, the ACLJ continually defeats atheists' attacks on religious freedom and holiday traditions. Now, I am going to go do this. I read this Sunday night during my opening to my sermon, and I cleaned it up a little bit. When I say I cleaned it up a little bit, it wasn't dirty or nasty or anything. It just had a little more attitude than I wanted in my sermon. But I'm just going to read it the way it is written tonight. There will be some of you that recognize this because somebody that's watching right now posted this. You look like you're...
I'm about ready to take a hammer to...
Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah, that would be... No, well... Huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, this says, I do not care if this does offend someone. This is what I believe. I am sick and tired of every year when Christmas comes around, there are people who want to take Christ out of Christmas because it might offend someone. Well, what about all of us Christians? What about offending us because you are taking our Christ out of Christmas? Christ is Christmas. If you aren't celebrating Christ, then why are you celebrating? Christmas is about the birth of our Savior. Christmas is one of the few holidays left that celebrate my Christ. Leave my holiday alone and tell everyone Merry Christmas, not Happy Holidays.
Amen.
Mic drop, walk off the stage. Absolutely. It's all that means. See, here's the deal. Christmas belongs to the Christians.
Absolutely.
Thus the name, Christmas. Other religions have their holidays. Other religions have numerous holidays. And really, we've got Christmas and Easter that are truly about Jesus. You know, Thanksgiving fits in there, but that's just being thankful.
Right.
And so if you understand what I'm saying, Easter and Christmas are what we celebrate in America that is strictly because of Christ.
Halloween actually started out to be a Christian holiday until the Satanists took it over and turned it into something other than what it was meant to be.
So, you know, here basically the entire world, minus nations that don't believe in Christ at all, you know, Muslim nations and Hindu nations and places like that, but they celebrate the day, they buy presents, they get all of the quote unquote benefits.
Right, the benefits.
Of the holiday.
Right.
But they don't want it, they want it to be about Santa Claus.
Yeah, they like the secular side of Christmas.
The secular side and the presents and the giving and the complaining about the Christians who are celebrating their own holiday in the way that it's meant to be.
Absolutely.
Leave our holiday alone. If you are a Christian and you don't say Merry Christmas, I'm not going to tell you that you're not a Christian. But boy, I am disappointed in you.
Yeah. When Amy Marie and I were shopping yesterday, we were in a liar store called the Dollar Store. Dollar Tree. But it's no longer a Dollar Tree, so they're liars.
Yeah,
because it's a dollar and a quarter now. So
you call it Liar Tree.
Liar Tree, because they're lying. Anyway, we were there, and the cashier told us, have a blessed day and a Merry Christmas. Whoa. And I was like, what? And I thanked her for saying that. She said, I say it many, many times a day, and I will continue saying it. And we had this conversation between us, and I looked around, and there were a lot of other people standing there. So I kind of elevated my level, which, you know, for me is almost yelling. But I don't care. I wanted as many people around me to hear this as I could. And I kind of fed off of that article. Stay out of my holiday if you're not going to use the phrase Merry Christmas. If you're going to say Happy Holidays and take Christ out of my holiday and say Happy Holidays, stay out of my holiday. Merry Christmas is the holiday that it is. And if you're not going to say Merry Christmas and keep Christ involved, then don't even waste your breath.
We as Christians don't yell and scream about Hanukkah.
Well,
and tell them to change the name.
Right.
We don't say Happy Holidays on Hanukkah.
Absolutely.
It's the same. It's 100% the same. We don't tell Muslims not to celebrate Ramadan.
Right.
And say Happy Holidays during the entire Ramadan is not one day. It's what, like 3 weeks or something?
Yeah, something like
17
that.
17 days. It's at least 2 weeks long. And
I don't get offended because they celebrate their holiday, their religion, whatever. I don't get offended by that because that's what they believe. That's not what I believe, but that's what they believe. That's what they want to do. That's what they can do. I'm not offended. So don't be offended because I celebrate Christmas and I don't take Christ out of it. And I'm tired of people having to tiptoe because they're afraid somebody's going to be offended. Grow up. Put your big girl panties on.
Celebrate what you like to celebrate. You know, we celebrate people. We celebrate certain days. You know, Valentine's Day. St. Patrick's Day. And some people would say, well, there is Christian roots in some of that as well. It's not about the roots. It's about today.
Yep.
Today, Valentine's Day, has nothing to do with Christian principles. And the same day thing with St. Patrick's Day. Now, that one probably is the closest, but still, it's not celebrating exactly the birth and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, like Christmas and Easter. And I think we made Roberta happy because she said amen 3 times. And Amanda is in here now, and she says, sorry, I've been so absent lately. Too much going on. My cousin died.
Amanda Niece. Oh.
So we have Amanda Moore and Amanda Niece both in here.
And we got Amanda overload. That's okay.
We know a few other Amandas.
Absolutely.
Too. Let's get back to the subjects of the day. Let's go to liberal land.
Oh, man.
California.
Land of the fruits and nuts.
There it is. I am outraged, California Governor Gavin Newsom, inspired by Texas abortion law, hatches plan to go after assault weapons. Now, go along with this so that you understand what he's saying.
He's chasing after Planned Parenthood. They're the biggest assault weapon ever.
California Governor Gavin Newsom, D as in Democrat, has gained inspiration from Texas' controversial heartbeat law that essentially bans abortions around 6 weeks gestation. But Newsom's proposed plans are sure to make conservatives nervous. The Democratic governor announced over the weekend his intentions to model a law after the Texas Heartbeat Act. Now, you gotta pay attention to the meaning of this, because the Texas Heartbeat Law is written in a manner that kept it from getting struck down legally yet. So he's wanting to put together a law that is going to ban handguns using that same manner in which it's written in order to get it to go through. But rather than curb abortion in his state, Newsom, who recently pledged to make California a sanctuary state for abortion, pending Roe is overturned. See, everything is the cart before the horse. Is setting his sights on firearms. Newsom said Saturday he plans to give private citizens the power to sue to try to ban the sale and production of assault weapons. The governor released a strongly worded statement Saturday in response to the U.S. Supreme Court's rejection of the Biden administration's attempt to block the Texas law from taking effect.
He sounds like a mad little kid that's going to stomp his foot and say, if you can get away with it, I can too. I mean...
And assault weapons can take a life if a human being is involved making the assault weapon. Abortion takes a life every time. The possibility of death, 100% death.
Well, and sometimes abortions can take two lives.
Well, and how many ever babies are in the womb?
Absolutely. It's a multiple birth. You know, goodness gracious. I mean, come on. Oh, heavens.
Well, here's what...
This just goes to prove the land of the fruits and nuts.
Yes, and too bad he didn't get recalled when they had the recall election.
Good grief.
Unfortunately, without the Lord's intervention, and we can need to continue to pray for that Texas law, it's been to the Supreme Court already that the Supreme Court said to allow it to take effect. They tried to do the fast track way to the Supreme Court. So the Supreme Court said, no, you're going to have to let that take effect and run through the regular course of appeals. So it's going to be appealed numerous times. And I'm not so sure that the Supreme Court will continue saying that that's... They didn't say it's okay. They basically just threw it back to the lower courts and said it stays in place while you guys figure out what in the world you're doing. So I think that the law, the way they wrote that in Texas, was basically written to circumvent Roe v. Wade. And there are Supreme Court justices that would probably not be in favor of that just for that reason. Not about what the topic is, not about abortion itself, but about the way that it was written. And technically, our side would be upset if this went through with the weapons ban. So we still got lots of work to do when it comes to
and he's not talking about assault weapons. He's talking about handguns.
No, he's talking about assault weapons.
I thought you...
Trying to give people the power to sue... to try to ban the sale and production of assault weapons in California.
Well, what did you say about handguns?
Well, up here it says setting his sights on firearms.
Oh, I thought you said something specific about a handgun.
I don't think so.
Oh, well, I misheard you then. Either way you go, he's nuts.
Well, here it is...
I mean, look at his picture.
Yes, I don't want to look anymore.
He looks like the Joker off of Batman.
All of the who's on what side and who agrees with what and who don't. The right to bear arms is in our Constitution.
Absolutely.
The right to kill your baby is not.
There's another mic drop, walk off stage.
And as I mentioned, Lila Rose, there's sandy walls. Lila Rose, who is the founder and leader of Live Action,
absolutely,
a very, very effective right-to-life organization, has been posting. Let me just go to the one that I shared today.
I know that house.
There is no right to kill an innocent child.
Well, no one has that right. In the womb or out of the womb. And you can't get any more innocent than in the womb.
Yep.
No, none. I had a conversation today with someone. And that conversation was about abortion and their opinion was, well, if they just happen to just, you know, lay around and get pregnant, and that they don't have the right to kill, you know, have an abortion at all. But if there's rape or incest or something like that, then I think that they should be able to. And I said, why should you hold the child accountable for the crime of its father? No child should be held accountable for the crime of the father. I said, the chances of a woman becoming pregnant in the trauma of a rape or an incest situation is extremely low and unlikely. It happens. Don't get me wrong. It happens. And those are very unfortunate moments. But you should never, ever, ever hold that child accountable for the crime of the father. Yes, the mother is going to be responsible for carrying that child to term. But there's always something that she can do. There's always adoption available. Adopt that child out and give it an opportunity to survive and make another family happy in the throes of a traumatic situation. Don't take its life and cause that mother another reason for a trauma in her life. Because that's just adding insult to injury. That's exactly what it's doing. It's going to give her another thing that she is going to have to heal and heal from that she's never going to have complete closure from. That's another scar on top of a scar.
And very close together.
Absolutely.
It has to be very close together.
Absolutely. I mean,
within
and that's,
weeks.
Yeah. That's something she's never going to get over. She'll carry that burden for the rest of her life.
Both burdens.
Absolutely. And why would you do that? How can you? You know, it's bad enough to go through a rape, but then to have to know that you've taken the life of a child on top of it. When there's somebody, if you can heal by giving another family an opportunity for happiness, that's going to help that rape heal a little easier. There's my public service announcement for today.
There it is. We talked about this story earlier today. Headline says, judge holds hospital in contempt of court for refusing. How do you say this medicine?
Ivermectin? Where's the word at? Ivermectin.
For refusing ivermectin to COVID patient on ventilator, ignoring a court order. Now, we mentioned that, I mentioned that I wasn't going to talk a lot about COVID. And to me, this isn't my opinions on COVID, and it's not my opinion on the vaccine or anything like that. As a matter of fact, I have been on record of saying that I wish that we worked as hard on medication that would help people who get COVID as much as we do the vaccine. And so the George, the judge holds hospital in contempt. Let's talk about the story. Where did it go, George?
I mean, judge.
Read more. There's it. A Virginia hospital was held in contempt of court Monday for refusing to administer ivermectin. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Ivermectin.
Just one day later, and guess where this is? Loudoun County, Virginia.
Loudoun County's got a track record.
Yes, they do. Circuit Court Judge Jim Fisher agreed with the Davies family and ordered the hospital to administer the drug in compliance with the family's wishes. And this is that stupid page that...
Keeps popping up?
Yes. So it skipped ahead. Kathleen Davies, a 63-year-old Northern Virginia woman, became severely ill with COVID in October and has been on a ventilator since November the 3rd. That's a long time, and amazing that she is still
absolutely
here. Davies was prescribed ivermectin by her family doctor, but she could not complete her regimen upon being admitted to the hospital, Fauquier Hospital in Warrington, Virginia. That's because the Northern Virginia Hospital refused to administer the drug, citing medical, legal, and practical concerns, the newspaper reported. The lady's son, Christopher, who works at the hospital as a radiologist technician, urged the hospital to administer the drug as his mother's health declined and all other medical treatments had been exhausted. But the hospital continued to refuse.
Wow.
And so then we get to on the 6th, the judge said that the family must administer the drug in accordance with the family's wishes. This line right here, to me, is pathetic. Shockingly, the hospital ignored the order. The judge ordered them to treat a patient. It's a shame that the judge has to be involved to begin with. And
the hospital ignored a judge's order.
Yep. They believe it's a fight between the rights of the hospital and the rights of citizens. They feel their rights trump her rights, Christopher Davies told the newspaper. The hospital claimed because none of its doctors... believe ivermectin is in Miss Davies' best interests and have all refused to prescribe, and because Kathleen's doctor, Dr. Martha Muturi, did not have privileges to practice medicine at the hospital, it would continue to ignore the court order. But 3 days later, on the 9th, the judge ruled that such a policy... is not state law, and again ordered the hospital to permit the administration of the drug in compliance with the family's wishes. Importantly, the judge did not rule on the medical merits of the medication as an effective treatment for COVID. But with all other treatment options exhausted, the judge clearly sided with the family. Get this, still the hospital refused. Two court orders.
That's ridiculous.
I bet this judge was livid.
I bet he was too.
I wish he would have ordered... his contempt of court order would be to put the administrator and somebody immediately in jail.
Yeah, the administrator goes straight to jail. Did not pass go.
In a court filing this Monday, which would be the 13th, yesterday, the hospital began raising objections to the doctor's medical qualifications and requested she testify under oath. So now the doctor is on trial.
And what's that got to do with anything about the medicine?
So what did the judge's newest ruling say? Well, here it is. The ruling on Monday, the judge said that the hospital is in contempt of court, ordered the administration of the medication, and imposed daily $10,000 fines retroactive to December the 9th. Fisher held the hospital in contempt for needlessly interposing requirements that stand in the way of the... remind me not to find this story on this website anymore.
Right.
It puts pop-up ads, and then when it puts pop-up ad, it switches the story back up earlier. So that's why the groaning here. Interposing requirements that stand in the way of the patient's desired physician administering investigational drugs as part of the Health Care Decisions Act and the Federal and State Rights to Try Act. No good reason was given other than convenience for the need of a formal attending physician when there are at least three physicians involved in the patient's care. The relief herein can be accomplished without requiring anyone serving in the role of attending physician. The doctor doesn't have to administer the drug. Fisher, the judge, gave the hospital until 9 p.m. on Monday to administer ivermectin, or he would levy additional fines. Kathleen Davies was given ivermectin at 8:45 p.m. yesterday.
8:45, 15 minutes before the deadline, and they gave her the medicine. They waited till the very last minute.
Now, I don't know. I don't know if this medicine's any good. I know there have been people that have had success with it. I don't know of anybody that it's killed, but I just don't know. But if everything else has been tried, what does it hurt?
And the woman's been on a ventilator for that long.
Well, about 6 weeks.
Yeah, why wouldn't you try it?
You know, it's amazing that she's made it as long as she has.
Absolutely.
Now, here's my question to you. You guys can put a comment in if you like. What if the lady would have died between the time that the judge's order took place and last night at 8:45.
Boy, oh boy. If I was her family, there would have been a huge lawsuit.
Well, Mary said, "Wow, I was told physical therapy today that there was a hospital here in Indiana that refused to do a lady's mammogram because she didn't have her COVID vaccine card. They said if you didn't have your COVID vaccine, that they were refusing treatment to people." We're getting to another story that
wow
is on the same level. Then Mary Bailey says, lawsuit.
Yeah.
Roberta says, "Here it comes, Lord. Put your arm around my shoulder and your hand over my mouth." And then she said, lawsuit. I think no matter what happens, there's a lawsuit coming. And,
you know, I just don't understand. Just because someone's not vaccinated, they're going to refuse treatment. And how in the world can they justify that?
I'm going to go to another story that is on that exact topic. It was the last one anyway. Kroger to cut COVID benefits for unvaxxed staff, add monthly health care surcharge. Kroger has informed unvaccinated employees that they will no longer be entitled to paid emergency leave if they fall ill with COVID-19, the Wall Street Journal reports. The grocery chain reportedly sent out a memo to staffers last week announcing the new policy, which will take effect January the 1st. unvaccinated managers and non-union employees, and if they can make an exception for union employees, never mind.
I didn't even know that Kroger had a union anymore.
At
one point, I knew they did. They were all unionized.
Apparently, at least in some places, they still do. And non-union employees will also face a $50 monthly surcharge added to their company health care plans. The move is part of the company's efforts to encourage employees to get vaccinated in light of the Occupational Safety and Health Administration's requirement, which mandates companies with 100 or more employees to make sure staffers are inoculated against COVID by January the 4th, or otherwise have them tested weekly. Well, first of all over the country, numerous courts have ruled that that mandate cannot go into effect because of serious legal questions into it. So this article has kind of made it sound like that's already in effect. But I've told Amy this, told some other people this. Biden's already won on that in most cases because of the Krogers of the world. He put that in, and then companies are now mandating it themselves. They're not doing it in response to a mandate that has no teeth to grasp a hold of. They're doing it themselves, and thus the need for the mandate from the government is not nearly what it was. Now, there are some companies that have been for sure opposed to this. And again, to Amy and I, this isn't about taking the vaccine or not taking the vaccine or believing in the vaccine or not believing in the vaccine. It has to do with being mandated to do something that you may or may not disagree with, and you may or may not feel religiously obligated in that area. And so here's the thing. Kroger is a private business. They can make whatever rules they want to make. But there are also rules and regulations that businesses have to adhere to. And I'm pretty sure that there are going to be people that are going to fight that. You know, what if you say that, start throwing in, you know, people have done this after they got the vaccine, people have done that. And so I'm pretty sure there's going to be legal issues with this as well. But in that kind of matter, which would be a civil matter, well, I don't know. It's going to take months.
Oh, yeah.
And months and months. And to me, it all boils down to having a police state attitude. Mary said, yes, withholding treatment, and they should have to answer to the contempt charge. Yes, they should. Roberta said, taking my rights away from me, my body, my choice. Oh.
Wait a minute.
You can't use that, Roberta.
Yeah.
That's against
the rules.
That phrase
is already taken.
So, I don't know.
That phrase is only okay when it comes down to abortion. They made it okay.
Well, I'm thinking, let's say we worked for Kroger and we didn't get vaccinated. And they started charging us $50 extra a month on our insurance. at the end of the year, do you get that money back if you don't get COVID?
I'm sure that's not the case.
Well, why?
And who? Where's that money going? Who's getting that money? Who's getting that? If the insurance is getting it, where's it going? Are they profiting, just pocketing that money? Because they're not going to benefit. I mean, why would they benefit if you don't get it? And if you do get it, more than likely you're not going to have, you're not going to get hospitalized or anything. You just get over it. We didn't, it didn't cost my insurance a cent when I got, when we got it. We didn't get medicine. We didn't go to the hospital, didn't go to the doctor. We didn't, nothing. It didn't cost them a cent. And the majority of the people that get it don't require any medical attention.
The ones that do, usually are very expensive.
But if you don't, where does that money go?
Well, that's my
question. Does Kroger pocket that? Does the insurance pocket that? Who's benefiting from that?
Well, and then you look at things like, the signal, I think, just went out again.
Well, that's happened a couple times.
You look at things like people that are fully vaccinated, are they going to be in trouble
for when they get it? Because you can.
So, I mean, I'm not debating COVID. I'm not saying you should or should not take a vaccine. I've said for weeks and weeks, that's strictly up to you. But I don't understand. If we knew 100% that the vaccine would work, and I actually read a different story about one of the Supreme Court justices ruling on a New York mandate. And he said he was upset his side didn't win on the vote. And he was making a lot of points about the vaccine and, you know, a lot of the questions that are out there. But he made the point of that I was just making just then about if the vaccine was 100%, you know, foolproof, or even not even 100%, but with the fact that it's known that you can be fully vaccinated, had your booster. And if you believe Fauci, you're going to have boosters every few months into infinity. Then why would you make somebody do something that isn't proven to... Well, it's been proven that you can get COVID and be fully vaccinated and be fully boosted and... And wear masks everywhere, and well.
Well, you don't know what the effects are going to be in 5 years of it.
Well, we don't, and that's more of the argument on whether to get vaccinated or not to get vaccinated. And I'm just going to leave that part with you make your decision, and I make my decision. And some people will say, well, your decision to not be vaccinated affects me, who is vaccinated. Well, guess what? You can still get COVID fully vaccinated, fully boosted.
Yeah.
I mean, the only way that you're not is to stay quarantined in your house away from everybody. That's the only way.
Zero contact from everyone.
Yeah, that's the only way to guarantee that you're not going to get COVID. So, you know,
please hold for a very important message.
So I had a friend today send me, well, it was actually from a group of four people that we just kind of send conservative Christian stuff, mostly conservative. Usually it's, well, I'll be nice. It's, let's just say it's very, very, very conservative. And so you can imagine some of the things that get sent back and forth. But the one today was a video, and I'm going to get it posted. I didn't get it up on the site yet. But it's a video of a friend of the podcast, Dinesh D'Souza. And I don't know, it's been probably 4 or 5 years ago that we interviewed him. Telling a story about, if you know who the journalist John Stossel is, and I would have to check because I'm not 100% sure, but I think John Stossel is a liberal. Again, don't hold me to that. It's irrelevant when it comes to the story what he is. But he had done some kind of a story. I don't know, maybe he's a conservative, because his story was about global warming, and surely Facebook wouldn't have blocked something from a liberal on global warming. But anyway, they put the old fact check thing up, and this has been ruled fake news and all of those kind of things that people, you know, the fact checkers put up. Well, Stossel says that would hurt his reputation, and almost like libeled him, or slander, whichever one it would be for. Slander is verbal and libel is print, so I don't know which one it qualifies at. But so he sued Facebook, and when they went to court, Facebook said he had no merit or no standing in the case because Facebook fact checkers are actually just people who check people's posts against Facebook's opinion.
Opinion.
And when Dinesh was telling it, it was funny because he said something to like, well, it's a fact checker that's given their opinion of another person's opinion.
Isn't it insanity?
And so,
then people like me get put in Facebook work release.
Well, and that's where I was going to go with it is, it didn't say you posted fake news, but it did say that you, published content that went against Facebook's standards.
Trevor said John Stossel is a libertarian. Come see, come saw.
Well, no, that's better than a liberal.
It says libertarian.
Yeah. But libertarian is way better than a liberal. No, it's way more than that. You would agree with a lot of things that libertarians, they don't want our money going to foreign countries and lots of things like that. Rand Paul, who is a Republican, would probably lean toward libertarian views. They're for straight holding the tax line or lowering it and things like that. But, so, I'm going to get that video posted, and I'll post it everywhere because it just shows how hypocritical Facebook is in that.
Look out now. We're not going to be able to post nothing.
Well, I don't care. I hope Facebook is listening. And if they are, I don't care if you ban us or not because we'll go somewhere else.
Yeah, facts is facts.
And we will personally contact the followers that we know. And we'll go somewhere else because it's ridiculous that they would do that. They make their fact check. They did it all through the election.
Oh, well, absolutely.
Had an effect on the election. And then it's just basically saying, well, so what? It's What they said wasn't really a lie. We just didn't like it.
It just wasn't our opinion, so it's wrong. No, it's your opinion. Opinions are like...
Yeah.
Noses. Everybody has one and they smell. Did I clean that up?
You cleaned it up real nice.
I mean, it's an opinion. Just because it's their opinion doesn't make it right, doesn't make it wrong. It's in between. It's why it's an opinion. But Facebook is...
All
no,
hail?
They're not my all hail.
Well, here's the deal.
My all hail hung on a hill, on a tree. That's what I worship, not Facebook, not what's-his-face that made Facebook, because I could give a fuzzy rat's behind about that.
Zuckerberg.
There you go.
I was going to go to him next. When you consider, I've looked and seen, I seen an article or something that talked about his net worth. And I forget how many billion. It seemed like it was $118 billion net worth. That's B.
And you know what? All the B's in the world don't account for what my all hail gave. And Zuckerberg and his billions don't mean squat to me.
Well, but my point is...
Well,
guess who he made that money off of?
Well, absolutely. All of those that have the same opinion as him.
Well, that's not who he made his money off of. He made his money off of you and me.
Oh, well, give me those bees back. I want my bees so that I can give them to the man that hung on the tree.
Zuckerberg... Facebook is free. How many ever millions of people that get on Facebook, they get on for free. Now, there's things that they charge you for on Facebook. You can run ads. You can boost posts and all kinds of things like that. But Zuckerberg made his money off of gathering data and selling that to businesses.
Yep.
That's how... the 118 billion or whatever number that is came about. So I'm trying to think of, I heard a story. I can't remember what I was. Well, I think it was on a Perry. It was on a Perry Stone video I watched today. And Perry had a guest that was talking about, he went into this business that is a data collecting business. And this business owner was telling him down to like what stores he shopped at and knew it in real time. He was telling the guy every morning about 7 o'clock, you stop by whatever bakery and so they had this one huge like warehouse room that was just full of computers that were pulling this data, and then he went into another room that was about the same size and it was analyzing all the data that was pulled from the other room. And part of the story was that people say that they're not listening to you through your phones. And this point makes the whole thing, you know, it just seals the deal. If they're not listening to you, how does Siri know that you're talking to it? How does Bixby? We have Bixby on our phones.
Well, it's so bad that we can be discussing something and it will be 10 minutes and we'll have an ad pop up on our phone exactly about what we were just talking about.
Well, and it's 100% guaranteed that they're tracking where you are, because you, if you pull up to, let's say, a shopping center and close by there's a Texas Roadhouse or a Starbucks or whatever, it'll start telling you about those things that's close by, right in real time. So that, wow, maybe I'll just go to Starbucks based off of that. And
that's, well, no, I won't, because I don't like Starbucks.
I know.
I mean, I love their coffee. Will not give them my money.
We'll continue with Dunkin' Donuts. There's our business.
There's our plug for Dunkin', but we'll give them our money.
But there's, you see how Zuckerberg made his billions. How many ever it
You're pronouncing that wrong.
Zuckerberg? Well, I'm being nice tonight.
Okay.
So, I guess we have to just live with it, that they know what we're doing and where we're doing it at. If somebody that...
Well, ours will even tell where our car is parked.
Well, Mike, I never have had it do that, but it comes up every time we park the car. Bixby can tell you where your car is parked.
Well, and he needs that.
See, you said that the other day, and you got that story wrong. That story was about a little old lady that I helped in the parking lot at Walmart find her car. Because she was on one side of the parking lot, and it was on the other. And I'm walking around the parking lot hitting her panic button to find her car. So... You made fun of me when I was just being a good Samaritan.
Okay. And that may be true, and you were a good Samaritan.
No, it is true, not maybe.
But do you know how many times that he's walked out of one side of Walmart and started to go, where do we park? And we're out the other side?
About the same amount that you do.
Not. I know where I park. Because I go straight to the same aisle almost every single time that we go. And if it's one, because I know I'm not going to look silly, because I know I would.
Okay.
Well. I have a method to my madness, because I know I'm going to look silly. And I look silly enough without helping myself.
Well, I want to just segue right in. We'll talk some more personal stuff at the end. And one of the reasons I'm doing that is I've started a new thing where I take out the first part of the prayer and share hour, where we basically just banter back and forth about our family. And then I take the end of it out, the prayer request part, and just have a YouTube done of current events. And I'm going to actually highlight those. You know, we have two times a week we get together, and I'm going to change the YouTube into audio and make that as segments on a podcast, because we got to get our podcast back up and running as well as everything else we do. And that seems to be one of the best ways of doing that. So I'm going to try to keep all the current events together is why I went that direction. We said we just have to live with it, you know, with Zuckerberg and him checking on us and all that good stuff. This story says, doctor says fully vaccinated people are going to test positive with Omicron. I don't know. And if you look Omicron up, it's, I'll let you look it up and see what everything tells you. But we are going to test positive with Omicron, our new normal. So if you're vaccinated, they're telling you you're going to test positive with this variant, and that is our new normal. As the highly contagious variant quickly spreads across the country, a respiratory specialist says Americans should expect to see more breakthrough cases of COVID in fully vaccinated people, and that's fine. You know, they've got this whole vaccine thing covered to where if people started just keeling over the second they got the shot, that they would say that's expected. We have to just expect that a certain number of people are going to do that. You know, not only do we have have to get two shots for most of the brands, and then now booster and another booster, and now we got a third variant all of a sudden, and we're just going to have to live with it. He says here later on, we have to get comfortable with fully vaccinated folks testing positive. That's going to be our new normal, he told the Today Show. But people should not worry about that, because the purpose of vaccines is not to prevent a positive test or a respiratory virus like Omicron. It's to keep you out of the hospital, and that's exactly what they're doing. So you mean to tell me that all of the talk for all of these months about a vaccine, and now they're telling us it's designed just to keep you out of the hospital? And that is the new normal, and we just gotta live with it.
Gotta live with it.
I mean, they like shoot themselves in the foot when they do stuff like that. Why would, for the people who haven't been vaccinated, why in the world would you choose to get vaccinated now?
Right.
I got one thing to say about that entire topic. One person, Colin Powell. The vaccine didn't keep him out of the hospital. He was fully vaccinated. Not only did it not keep him out of the hospital, but he died. You know, I know that there's been dozens and dozens of people who were adamantly against the vaccine. And I've said, we've said this together dozens and dozens of times. The vaccine is a personal choice. We don't care if you get a vaccine. That, we're not going to think anything less of you. You know,
no.
Most of our family has the vaccine. And we've lost loved ones to COVID. So, you know, please, if you want to get vaccinated, by all means, get vaccinated. But I don't see any reason to do it now. And to continue to get boosted and boosted and boosted. Because, see, they go back and help make some of the points that we've made. We don't know how the side effects are going to be from these things. Weeks, months, years from now. And they just keep putting more and more and more in people's bodies. And we don't know that the very first shot of the vaccine isn't bad for you. And so, you know, the number of times you get jabbed, it seems like your odds of something negative happening go up because, well, just numbers are that
right,
way.
Right.
So, I don't know. I'd said that we wouldn't talk much about the vaccine anymore, but I'd like to know what people that are vaccinated think about a statement like this. Fully vaccinated people are going to test positive with the new variant. That's our new normal. What do you think about that? Did you think when you were getting the vaccine that you were getting something that would keep you from getting the virus. Now, don't say it based off of today. I want you to say it based off of when you took the vaccine the first time. Because back then, they weren't selling it as it'll keep you out of the hospital. They sold it as it will save lives. And people would say, well, if you only get a mild case, that's saving your life. I agree. I don't disagree. But there's no promise. And I know that they didn't make that promise from the get-go, but boy, they were really close.
Right.
They were really close. So I'd like to hear some of your opinions on that. And there's Olivia.
There is Olivia.
Well, we got some comments on that. It's about control. Amen. Remember when Fauci said, if you were vaccinated, no more mask or distance? And then there is Olivia. Had a person today tell me they're not anti-vax, they just don't believe that we should be forced. And that's right where we are.
Right.
We just don't think we should be forced to do something. And there's a long list of reasons why we feel that way. So let's move on. I got a story now that Amy had sent me earlier. And let me refresh this. It's a sad story. It's a sad story. And it's about the tornadoes and the things that took place. This one is in Kentucky. You know, I kind of feel bad sometimes because Kentucky has gotten basically almost all the attention on this. And there were several other states that got hit as well. And I may have to go back and get the link again. Why don't you go ahead and set the story up a little bit?
Well, it's kind of hard to do that without kind of telling the story.
Tell us where it was in
Kentucky. I don't know what, I don't remember what town it was. Did you find it? Because I don't remember specifically what town that it was in. It was a candle factory.
And pretty much everybody's heard of the candle factory getting demolished.
Yeah, completely demolished. And I don't remember what town it was in this. And did you find it?
It's just buffering.
Oh, lovely.
You want me to go through it?
Okay, go ahead.
You have to help me fill in the blanks.
Okay, I'll do what I can do. I mean,
you probably heard the story about the candle factory, and it was completely destroyed. And it was seven inmates, right? Mm-hmm. Was that the number?
I think so.
Seven inmates that worked at this candle factory, and it was work release, just like what Amy's in. You could substitute Amy's name into this correctional officer, and the story would fit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank God it's not that way, but yeah, and it ain't. Let's see if it goes that way. So the difference between here and there is this guy, his assignment was to watch over these inmates while they were working at the candle factory. They don't do that here locally. If they're on work release, they go out at a certain time and give me that process real quick.
They go out and they go to work. They come in. They've got schedules. We verify that they go. That we verify that they come back. What times? So we know where they're at and when they're supposed to be, where they're at and when they're supposed to be back.
So this, Beth Sheldon says it's Mayfield, and I...
I think that's exactly right.
So the tornado is closing in on them, and the correctional officer makes sure that all seven of the inmates that he's responsible for got to safety, which caused him not to be able to get to safety soon enough, and he lost his life.
Yeah, the officer was killed in the process of getting the seven inmates safe. And the inmates all actually spoke very, very highly of that officer and said that he actually died in the line of duty doing exactly what he was supposed to be doing and made sure that they all were safe and lost his life making sure of that.
I would go as far as to say he was going way above and beyond what he was paid to do.
Well, and the superintendent of the correctional facility that he came from said the exact same thing, that he went above and beyond the call of duty to make sure that those inmates were safe and lost his life in the process.
Because my estimation was his primary focus was to make sure that they stayed where they were supposed to be. Wouldn't you say that that was his main job description for that?
Right. I mean, his job description was to make sure that they stayed where they were at, but also that they stayed safe where they were at.
And see, I think the stayed safe is the above and beyond.
Well, no, I mean, that's just part of what we do is to, you know, to stay, you know, to make sure that they're safe wherever they're at.
I get it.
I mean, that's part of an oath of what we do is to make sure that their safety is first and foremost.
I'm just thinking in that particular situation, his primary responsibility was keeping track of them. And he kept track of them. He kept track of them right into the safe area. And Beth and Olivia are making comments. Beth said, at Mayfield, the workers were begging to go home starting at 3:00. And it was an 8-hour job.
Wow.
Or maybe an $8. I'm not sure what she meant.
Probably
there.
$8 an hour job. I don't know.
Wow. She said her brother lives there.
Yeah.
And I'd heard stories about them asking to go home and were told they couldn't.
Wow.
And there's already been at least one lawsuit filed.
Oh, I bet.
As a result of... Well, I mean, they still got the rubble on the ground, and lawsuits are already happening.
And I think that it was the officer's brother that had to go and identify the officer himself and then had to tell his son.
It was his brother. There's a video that goes with this story, and we'll get that up as well. He sounded real confident and everything, and the next thing you know, he wasn't confident anymore. And he just he didn't seem like he was going to lose it, and then he just lost it. Yeah. And you just felt bad for him. Because, you know, he had a real strong voice, like
And the superintendent fell apart in talking about it as well. And they presented the man's son with a badge because that officer took pride in keeping his badge nice and shiny and looking fresh. And so they presented the boy with a badge.
And did you notice after they handed it to him, he was just rubbing it and feeling it? And
they said this will never replace him, but it might help you feel a little closer to him or something. And, I mean, really sentimental. And I mean, I can't imagine, and I really can't imagine what that young man is going through. I just can't. You know, I mean, tragically losing your father in that kind of a situation. But that man died as a hero.
Oh, absolutely. Well, the email that you sent, that's what heroism of one of our own was, yeah. the subject of it.
I mean, he was one of our own. I mean, it hits really close to home because he was one of ours.
Well, as I said, I mean, if that happened here, you put Amy's name in the place of this man's name, and that's one of the reasons I keep trying to pull the story up. I'd really like to be able to tell his name. And for some reason, our link, I don't know, maybe it's getting 8 billion hits a minute or something, because it just is buffering and won't go through.
Well, it might be because you got 4,000 things open.
Nah, that's not it. Everything else works.
Well,
you're right, though. He definitely a hero. And one of the couple of things that I thought was interesting was that the correctional officers wanted to do that with the badge and give recognition right now. They didn't want to wait until the official, you know, it's going to take days.
Oh, yeah.
If not longer to be able to plan, you know, ceremonies and funerals, right. and all kind of things like that. And they wanted something right now to be able to help help that family.
Absolutely.
And as they were mourning the loss of their fellow worker who is like their family. I mean, you know how it is where you work. You're close to the people that you work with most of the time, and you spend more time with them than you do your family most of the time, because right. between how many ever hours a day you work and sleep, then whatever's left is maybe with your family. And I'm going to guarantee you that it's not nearly that. Go ahead.
Officer Robert Daniels. He was supervising the work crew when a tornado devastated the Mayfield area, destroyed the building that was, as posted Officer Down memorial page.
So, Robert Daniels. And thank you in memory of Officer Daniels, and thank you to his family for sharing him with the world.
Absolutely.
And we know that there are 7 people outside of family that will never forget him, and many, many more. Beth says it was $8 an hour. Workers told if they left, they were fired.
Wow. Wow. Wonder how those people feel now. You know, how do those supervisors and management or whatever it was, how do they feel now? How do you sleep? Wow. That gave me goosebumps. Thinking that you're telling people that make $8 an hour, if you leave, you're fired.
Well, I'm trying to think, and this did happen since we were on Tuesday night. Remember the missionaries in Haiti that got kidnapped?
Yes.
And they released a couple, and the rest of them were released this week.
Isn't that amazing?
The rest of them were released. And the headline, "We glorify God for answered prayer. All missionary hostages finally freed in Haiti." And they're from Christian Aid Ministries. And the statement they put out said, "Join us in praising God that all 17 of our loved ones are now safe. Thank you for your fervent prayers throughout the past 2 months. We hope to provide more information as we are able. I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously." Exodus 15:1, the statement said.
Wow.
You know, sometimes you might think that 2 months really isn't very long. But boy, that would seem like an eternity from both the people that were kidnapped and their families back here that...
Right.
I mean, how could their mind be on anything else?
Absolutely.
During the day?
Yeah.
How many hours of sleep were lost?
Crazy.
During that time? I can't imagine. You know, there's a lot of things you can't imagine about this world, but, you know, that makes me think of Pastor Naren. And,
right.
I was actually watching. He comes on about 7 o'clock every morning on a Facebook Live. And I hadn't fell back asleep yet, so I turned that on and I commented on it, and he thanked me back. And his was way longer than 2 months. And, you know, he wasn't exactly kidnapped. He was just held hostage by the government.
Isn't that crazy?
But his family doesn't know if he's being treated right, treated well, being fed.
Yeah. Have no idea.
Is he living in a 4x4 room that barely fits a bed and peeing in a can? Or, you know, they don't know. But this is great news. And I got to just tell you, folks, I have heard so many things that have happened in the last probably 2 weeks that you can only explain it with it had to be God. I mean, I know Bill and Tanya are in here, or they were at least. I don't know if they still are.
They still are.
And, you know, we wanted to fill up I think it was a 20 footer. And, you know, Sunday the church board were together and we prayed that whatever size truck we were able to get, that we fill it up. Well, he got as big as he could get, I believe, with U-Haul. I got there before it was supposed to actually start at 6 o'clock. I got there at like 5 minutes till six. And the truck was two-thirds of the way full when I got there, in addition to huge piles that were still on the ground, and people were still running through the parking lot, you know, driving through and dropping off. And this all happened from Sunday to Tuesday. You know, this wasn't like it was planned weeks in advance.
Right.
You know, I think they started actually Saturday. And it got presented to everybody else on Sunday. And we ended up not just filling the truck up, but the church van. And there was people there.
Another full trailer.
No,
I mean,
the story with that is they were transferring that from our to theirs.
Oh, okay.
I didn't understand that at first.
Okay.
But that's what was happening. Cisco straightened me out on that.
Okay. Cisco to the rescue.
Yes, he was. That night, Tuesday night, Bill was standing in the... Bill worked his behind off.
Yeah.
I think he probably touched just about every single bag of clothes that went in there. Because you'd hand them to him, he'd throw them to the back. You'd hand it to... I mean... Seriously, and Tanya did too. She was going hard inside the garage where we had a bunch of clothes stored. And so they both, but I mean, when I left, I gave Bill a hug and he was drenched.
He was yuck?
Yeah, he was, Amy's word, yuck. But there was that, and just so many things that have gone on. You know our story about the guy at Sam's Club. And
well, just a simple thing. I had two pair of earrings that just were in little clear plastic bags that I couldn't find anywhere. I was wrapping presents. I couldn't find these two pair of earrings, and they had gotten picked up and thrown away with a bunch of other stuff. And I looked and looked and looked and was almost in tears, couldn't find these two pair of diamond earrings. And then I started praying about it, and I prayed and prayed and prayed, and I was so frustrated. And he left, and I went into the utility room where the trash was, and I looked, and they were sitting right on top of the trash. They were in the trash where the rest of the stuff was that I had thrown away earlier. They were right on top. They weren't with the rest of the stuff underneath. They were right sitting on top, like they were just laid right there. That was a God thing.
Well, at Bible study on Sunday, we talked about our encounter at Sam's Club and then opened it up for people to tell stories of, you can only explain that God had his hand in it.
Yeah.
And what a, I wish we had that Bible study before.
Oh, man.
Because what a blessing it was. It's story after story after story, that the only way you can explain it is God was involved in it. And let me tell you something. The splaining days may be about over. I'm going to probably get into this next week, and I think we've brought it up, but I want to go deeper into it. That statue that is at the UN building of, well, it's almost perfectly described in Daniel and Revelation. And they've got a statue at the UN building that almost perfectly matches what that says.
Wow.
So and if you know Daniel, there's a lot of end times prophecy in Daniel. And that's what Revelation is. So I want to get into that. I didn't want to just hit and run on that. I want to take a really good look at it.